You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. They call themselves the Tough Old Broads, and they're poets, too. In fact, they're acclaimed poets, and they will be on stage at Harlow's Sunday afternoon in an East Sac Baby Boomers event that is also a fundraiser. We'll talk about those details in a moment, but the Tough Old Broads have a new collection of work that's been published by Cold River Press. It's titled Tough Enough. Poems from the Tough Old Broads. Wow, I've said it about five times now. It's time for me to introduce them. Here they are. Victoria Dahlke is here, a poet, and as many of you know, longtime art critic for the Sacramento Bee. Victoria, so glad to have you here.
Well, thank you, Beth, for having me.
You look neither tough nor old.
Well, so. I don't feel very tough, but I am. I definitely am old.
Catherine Holvein is here, poet and founder of the Readers of Homer. I think you get credit for this group, don't you, Catherine?
I don't know, perhaps.
Well, how did it start, and why Tough Old Broads? Why was that the name you chose
well,
for
Well, it was Viola Weinberg's idea, actually, and she brought us all together because we were all also centered around Annie Menebroker, who was a dear friend of all of us. And Viola just had this idea. She is the toughest of the tough old
no
broads.
Kidding.
She has stage 4 renal cancer. She's had numerous surgeries, and she just keeps going. She actually climbed up a mountain in Scotland with her walker.
Wow.
Not that long ago. I mean, she's an inspiration to us all.
Viola, I think you're listening, so
oh,
we're all going to say hello
so.
To you.
Yeah. Hi, Hi, Viola.
So, tough to me has a survivor spirit to it, if you use
yes.
the word in that way.
Yes.
Catherine, what does tough mean to you?
Well, we all have struggled quite a bit and continue to and anticipate doing more.
Mm-hmm.
Struggle.
Yeah, more struggling,
you know,
yes, I'm sure.
We're all old.
Yeah.
You have daughters, your daughter Laura. How do younger women embrace that idea of tough old broad?
Why, that's kind of a hard question. I think we're a little bit of an inspiration, if I can put it that way.
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
And I hope that that's what happens on Sunday at the reading.
Yes.
That maybe we mm-hmm. can communicate some joy in aging
mm-hmm.
and in writing, right. in responding to the world as poets mm-hmm. and friends.
And friends,
you know,
yes.
That would be my think.
Catherine was a longtime professor with her husband at Sac State, and after retirement is when you created the Readers of Homer, which is a nonprofit. And tell me what work the Readers of Homer is still doing.
Yes, now it's even grown, and we call it, it has a new name, the International Readers of Homer.
Oh, well, that
we
says
just,
a lot.
A year ago, did a wonderful, if I say so myself, wonderful reading of Cousin Zuckuss's Odyssey, both in Greek and in English, in the Megaron in Athens. And it was wonderfully received. It was opened with a refugee from Afghanistan who initiated the reading. It was splendid.
Victoria has mm-hmm. authored 2 chapbooks, 29 poems, and In the Absence of Silver. And with your husband, artist Fred Dahlke, have participated in many interesting projects. I like how you find a place for your writing and poetry to cross over with his artwork as well.
Well, yes, and it also crosses over with my job as art critic for The Bee. It's been a really interesting job to have had because being married to an artist, I have a lot of sympathy for them. But also, you know, I've just learned a tremendous amount, and Fred has been very helpful. I mean, he knows art history backwards and forwards. So.
When did this group come together, and do you write together? What is your time together spent doing?
Well, as we said, Viola really brought us together.
Mm-hmm.
We all knew each other sort of individually.
Mm-hmm.
Fred and Victoria were the first people Hans and I met when we came to Sacramento. And I've just known Viola forever and Annie forever.
Yeah, it's
and,
true.
That's how.
And I should add that Annie passed in 2016.
She did. Yes, she did.
We have a YouTube clip of a reading that all of you did. That
Annie, how wonderful.
Annie is the first person to step up in the group.
Right.
And I think the room was packed at the Poetry Center.
Yeah, it was.
So the celebration of the four of you as poets and as individuals has been very warm and receiving in this
quite
community.
Incredible. And it made Annie very happy.
It did. It was such a
she
wonderful.
She was overjoyed at that event.
And it wasn't all that long afterwards that she did go into a decline and passed.
And her she'd be very, very happy to know that we're doing this.
Yes, she would.
So. Her name's on the cover. Her work is included in this book. What a celebration for her family and everyone who loves her. The title is Tough Enough. Mm-hmm. What is tough enough?
I think it not as toughness, but resilience. And persistence. You know, someone once asked me, you know, what I attributed my success to, and I said, well, I just don't give up on anything.
That's right.
And, you know, we put one foot in front of the other, but to just keep doing what you're doing, and it's been quite an adventure, so.
Try to love it as you go.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. But we have had, you know, I had breast cancer. I'm a breast cancer survivor. And Catherine had
open heart
surgery not that long ago. So we've all had our struggles.
You have a great spirit of joy and happiness. And I know that's not just because we're all here together, because I see you in different places in the community.
Oh.
And I think that resilience is very uplifting to people around you. At this stage of life, how is life? How's the quality of life?
Challenging.
It is challenging, yes.
Truly.
It is, because
surprisingly challenging.
Yeah. I just find, you know, I have some pretty severe arthritis, and it's difficult for me to get around as much as I'd like to. But it's just, you know, we just keep going. I mean, you have to.
That's what we call tough, I guess.
Tough, I guess, yes.
I'm talking with Catherine Holvine and Victoria Dahlke, two of the four tough old broads, along with Viola Weinberg and Annie Menenbroker, who passed in 2016. Their new book is Tough Enough. You can see and hear them read their poetry at Harlow's on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Admission is free. That's in Sacramento, but you are encouraged to make a donation to the East Sac Baby Boomers to benefit the American Cancer Society's rideshare program. I'd like to hear some poetry. Would you share something from the book?
Oh, sure. A lot of the things that I've written stem from my work as an art critic. And one of my favorite poems that, it's here, I know, I'll get to it.
You're going to hear
it. Oh, it's called the Jade Suit. And it's based on a wonderful sarcophagus-type suit that the emperor of China, or well, not the emperor, but the prince, this prince of China had. And I saw it in Seattle. Okay, the Jade Suit. A soldier digging trenches on Lingshan Mountain breaks through crust and falls through a tunnel strewn with rubble into an underground palace muscled out centuries ago for the secret apartment of Prince Liu Sheng and the bedchamber of Lady Dao Wan. What the soldier touches turns to dust, silks thin as locust's wings, embroidered with scudding clouds, fill his nostrils, coat his throat. Yet the soldier thinks nothing of these fancies, nothing of Liu Sheng's mantle of terminal incorruptibility. 2,000 green squares sewn with gold thread, cool as a chrysalis. He thinks instead of green onions sending up shoots, his mother slicing medallions of bamboo, the color of mutton fat jade, his wife plopping a raspberry nipple into his daughter's mouth, opened like a pale purple orchid.
Victoria Dalkey, poet and art critic for the Sacramento Bee, one of the four tough old broads who will be reading more from the book Tough Enough this Sunday afternoon at Harlow's. What a convergence of worlds and images.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank
beautiful.
You.
Yeah. Catherine.
Pretty simple little poem called Dear Poem. Dear Poem, I thank you for your insouciance, your weird, unnerving aptitude to say the unprepared for. You're the best thing in my life, and though I walk right past you, and though I vacuum past you, you have my real respect. I know you don't believe this, scattered as you are in notebooks, abandoned among the bills. But you're what I think of when dreaming. You stand there without expression, patient and never the same. You're indifferent if I feel trespassed, and you endure me if I'm scared. You are like the tree, the giant elm equivalent to my skyline, that I needed back then as a child to lean my forehead against, calmed by its cellular truth.
Oh. Poetry by Catherine Holvine, founder of the now international Readers of Homer. Well, there's the love right there. that just is.
That's
is
right.
Absolute.
I have to
love.
Say that poetry has saved my life more than once. So
that's true.
Yes, I mean it is something
true for me.
To turn to, and when things are bad and when things are good. So
it has. When I'm writing, if I write, I live better.
If you're writing, you live better.
When I'm thinking about poetry, I live better.
I do too, Catherine. Yes,
I think it's really true.
Yeah.
And I want to thank Dave Bowles, if I can squeeze this in, for publishing our book.
Of Cold River Press, Dave Bowles. Yes, he's been extraordinary. Yes. And the book is so beautiful.
Yeah.
How far back does the friendship go between the four of you?
Well, Catherine and I, as she said, met, I guess we were the first people you met or something.
Exactly.
My husband was studying with her husband, Hans Holvine, at Sacramento State in the art department. And we just became fast friends. And I was a student at Sac State. So Catherine was my first boss. She hired me to do some reading for one of her classes. And she was she was my first poetry teacher, really, I think, you know. And so we just go way back. And then Viola, of course, I knew through kind of the midtown art scene back in the 60s through D.R. Wagner and others. And D.R. introduced me to Annie, and I was so impressed because she was a famous poet, and I was not.
A student of mine told me, there's someone you should meet, somebody you'll really like. Her name is Annie Minnebroker, and that was way back. I don't remember the year, but it was long ago.
Yeah.
This coming together then has been about friendship. It's been about poetry. But there is something to be said for sisterhood that helps you endure the changes.
Absolutely.
Certainly, yes. We have been dear friends for so long, and we share things, and we egg each other on.
Yeah.
So what's the invitation then for people to come and hear you read on Sunday? I feel that if people join in with you, there's a sense of community. There's a celebration of life.
There seems to be.
Certainly the reading we did, the initial reading that we did at Verge Gallery was so almost overwhelming, the love that was coming back from the audience and the love that we were trying to give. I remember Annie, when she went up on stage, she was first, and she went up to the microphone and said, you can call me Annie. Oh. And that just broke the ice. Everybody was intent on us from that point.
I think if poetry is at all successful, it creates more love, in atmosphere of love around. I do believe that.
What are each of you working on right now? Catherine, what are you
I have a memoir that's scattered around. And I'm also writing about Homer. And I'm writing a book of poems called The Sweetness of Prepositions.
Oh, how interesting.
Great title.
I never thought of a preposition as being sweet, but...
If anybody can make it so, they'll look at the person across
Catherine,
the table.
That's right.
Victoria, besides your daily...
Well, I have a chapbook manuscript circulating. It's called Chinoiserie, and it's a 35-page chapbook of newer poems. And I'm also working on a memoir of our life in the 60s when, in fact, it's 1968 and 1969 when my son was born, but my mother died in 68. But it's also about Sacramento Midtown at that time and, you know, friends that we had and crazy things we did. We had some old movie theater seats, wooden seats that we had found somewhere. That was our couch. And we had an old pedestal sink that my husband found, and he put that in the corner. He didn't hook it up. He just liked to look at it,
right.
You know? So, anyway,
an object of art.
It was a wonderful time in a lot of ways.
You have seen so much change happening right now in Sacramento.
Yes,
it must
amazing.
Feel like a new city. In some
it
ways.
It does. Yeah. It does.
Different city.
Yeah. True. When I was born here, and when I was little, I used to come out with my parents. We used to go for drives out by what is now Sac State. And then it was just fields of beautiful hop plants. Oh, and it was gorgeous. And that was, we were going out to the country. So,
those might have been Roostdahler hops growing out there, I think.
Oh, probably. Yeah. Well, it's just changed a tremendous... I mean, even in the last year or two, it's changed.
The days when there used to be Kirby vacuum cellar salesmen coming around, one came to my house and started crying about the land around Sac State.
Oh,
saying
yes.
It was such beautiful pear orchards.
Well, we
it
could
was.
Go story and story and story, but I'll let everybody know you're going to be at Harlow's Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock, the Tough Old Broads. Thank you so much for the lovely
visit.
Thank
you. Thank you, Beth.
And this is Insight on CAP Radio.